Revolution Hip Hop. Get ready for the biggest album to hit the genre. 50 artists. That's right. 50 artists on one album. Curated by DJ Lost and Found. Featuring singles like What's the Move?
Look into my eyes, I can see your worth. Yeah. When I come through, I'ma tell you one truth.
And Foolish. Like AI the Anomaly, 350, Aaron Cole, Mission, SO, Dayton, Eris 4, Bats, and more. Sacer and Two is streaming on all major platforms. September 2nd, pre-order now.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper.
My boogie book.
24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
Yo, hey, yo, yo, hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. The true fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 22nd episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop producer, curator, and engineer. He goes by the name of DJ Lost and Found. They discuss the biggest project in Christian hip-hop, Sazura 2, which just released on September the 3rd by DJ Lost and Found. That's 50 artists across 18 songs that's already charting on iTunes. DJ Lost and Found shares his testimony while giving his advice on accepting Jesus. Daryl and DJ Lost and Found also have a much-needed discussion on doing good business in our space as Christians. This interview is packed with information and much more. You definitely will want to tune in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, DJ Lost and Found. And without any further delay, let's go!
Let's go! What's up? Kayla Kemp back again. Check out Ops featuring Reconcile and Tally Sama from DJ Lost and Found. Sazura 2 album that's out on all digital platforms. Only on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Peace.
Dead, I'm already numb. Fresh out of sale and back to a sale, I'm already numb. Struggle for real and back to a sale, I'm already numb. Trap like dead, streets being dead, I'm already numb. Smoking his body in Holly. They smoke all his homies, they all dead. 305 out the Northwest. Ain't no more serving the trap day. They have all the shooters, this young year to shoot. I'm beating the black life from day back to Houston. They calling it Schuster. They blind when they shoot. I done lost too much life to be losing. My faith on 100-something. They call me the hope in the streets I can't run from. Got the hope in the reach I can't run from. Can't straight out them, but now we up some. All this death for a life, we gon' swap it out. I swear I be spots, they be capping by. We turn up my hustle and turn it up. The pressure be crucial, gon' swap it out. Yeah. Cover all that stick, talk, cover all that blush. My bro doing fair time, he can't provide. You can't do nothing, you sitting in cells. No money for diapers or bed. My nigga be right and they feeling hell. You look in the mirror and look at yourself. I show you your ops for real. Your homie be capping, be cops for real. Let's rob your ops for real. When you ain't graduated, learn nothing. You stick with the stick on your options. Spin a band on the sex, spin a band on the sex. And these boys be flexing. Imagine you spending on education. Imagine you spend on elevation. Flipping the real estate, starting a business, employing the hood. So you pay the attention, see most of these be robbing servants. Damn, dead in prison. Seeing again, 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 on the lack of the business. I had to get on my knees and pray, now I'm ducking them people. Yeah, I'm free from the bars and the pavement. I used to be chained. The Lord is my witness. My saving and risen, he died for the sinner. I was the chief of the sinner. Yeah, the Lord is my witness, my saving and risen. He died for the sinners, and I was the chief of the sinner. Yeah,
Yeah. Truck like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. First out of sale and back to a sale, I'm already known. Struggle for real and back to a sale, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. First out of sale and back to a sale, I'm already known. Struggle for real and back to a sale, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known.
Well, baby, I came from the trap. Now I'm putting my team on the map. I was thrown to the wolves, so I had to adapt. Cause I got the hood on my back. At the age of 15, I was playing with straps and running with shooters and masks. God told me to leave all of that in the past and walk on a holier path. Now I'm finally walking with Jesus in the spiritual war with these demons. Had to cut off a whole lot of people that walked out on me at the times when I needed them. God took me up out of the street, so I started investing my time into seeking him. Show respect when you see me, I keep it real. I blew up independent, they needed bill. Haters talking, throwing dirt on my name, I'm already known. They cannot stop us anointed by God, I was already chosen. Came up in the trenches, I remember sleeping in the trap with the roaches. Started getting money, lost a lot of homies at the top of get long. Hey, Lord, my witness. I just young and up out of the city, I'm paving the way, yeah, I had to go get it. They hating while I'm getting rich. Hey, Lord, my witness. I came up around shooters and killers, I'm making a change for all of my children. Said I couldn't, but I went deep.
Yeah, trap like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. First out of sale and back to a sale, I'm already known. Struggle for real and back to a sale, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. First out of sale and back to a sale, I'm already known. Struggle for real and back to a sale, I'm already known. Drop like this, streets being dead, I'm already known. Yeah.
Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, where we don't want nothing on the book. We getting in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world, changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my beautiful wife for that excellent intro and my partner Get 'em J for the dopest intro music and podcasting. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the podcast, family, where you can count on us to keep it Christian, about the culture, and we definitely going to keep it hip-hop. Without further delay, I want to welcome my special guest to the podcast, DJ Lost and Found. What up, what's up, and what it do, DJ Lost and Found?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me on. Appreciate the platform. It's been a wild 2 weeks, man. I'm glad to be on, bro.
Yes, sir. So, as we jump into this first part of the podcast, who is DJ Lost and Found?
Yeah, so DJ Lost and Found, first of all, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And I try to be a brother to many. And really, I'm a servant, man. So what I do basically to serve, I'm a Christian DJ, sound engineer, my local church body within, you know, musical industry, I guess you could say. I'm a curator, so I make like playlists to expose people to new music and things like that. And then the biggest thing that I think people are probably most likely to know me for is the executive producing. So kind of like the DJ Khaled, you know, making a song by bringing all the parts together. So bringing the artist, the production, the direction, and then even after that, once the song is actually done, doing like the marketing and the rollout, you know what I mean, and pushing it out to like the DJs and the media outlets, and it's just a lot of work on that back end that I do as well. So yeah, I'm just overall a servant and trying to create a platform where I can lift up my brothers and sisters in Christ higher, so that, you know, they can, their gifts can be shared and seen even, you know, louder than it is now.
Amen. So where are you from, DJ Lost and Found?
Yeah, man, I'm from Jersey. So originally I'm from Jersey. I just moved from the Bronx, New York City, last year. So I'm in Dallas now. I was in New York City for 10 years, but originally from Jersey. But I've been all around, man. I don't know. The Lord just kind of moved me all around in my life. You know what I mean? I've been in Virginia. I've been like I said, Jersey, New York. I've been all around.
That's kind of my journey, right? I did my basic training at Fort Dix in New Jersey.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, now my pops, he from Corona, Queens. And then my mother is from that Norfolk, Portsmouth area up in Virginia.
So
I got family like Maryland, DC, Richmond, you know, Cleveland, Chicago. But yeah, so I've been all around too. I'm kind of like a military brat a little bit. My parents, grandparents was in the Air Force in different branches, and then, you know, I went into the Army for a little short stint. But yeah, that's kind of my story all around. Residing now in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Alabama's nice. I've been there once and it was nice.
Man, you the first person that came on the podcast that said Alabama was nice.
It was nice, bro. I didn't know what to expect, but to me it looked like New Jersey. You know?
Yes, sir.
So I was like, oh, okay. Oh, this is cool. All right.
Yeah, that'll work. Now I'm gonna break protocol. We normally talk about the project on the back end of the podcast, but with a much anticipated album as this one, we're going to talk about it now. First off, before I butcher the name, how do you pronounce Cezura?
No, you just did it. Cezura. You pronounce it Cezura, and basically what it is, for those who don't know, it's like a break or a pause, especially in like music. You'll see it if you can read music. It indicates that there's a break coming up or a pause between the music. And, you know, really for just like the definition is like it's an interruption. So in my life, it was an 11-year interruption where I wasn't doing music. You know, we can go into that a little bit later.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What kind of feedback have you been getting from Cezura too?
You know, it's been all positive, man. And the funny thing is when I ask people what their favorite tracks are, it's always, you know, ones that you don't expect, right? So you come in and you have something, you know, what I would think is probably like the largest record being like, What's the Move? Having Aaron Cole and SO, you know, and Promise on the same record. And even produced by On Beat. Actually, a lot of people, man, it's been all over the place. So I'm like, you know, it's cool that people are rocking with the whole entire project. And then even like the reception, like you can see from a practical standpoint, I just found out we're charting on iTunes, number 70 on iTunes.
Amen.
So yeah, that's huge. Because I, you know, you every artist wants to chart, right? But it doesn't always happen, right? So when it does, it's humbling to actually see the support out there and people, you know, in one day just going out and helping out, you know what I mean? And taking your platform to a level where it can be seen in the mainstream, you know what I mean? So, yeah,
yes, sir. Encouraging. Yeah, that's very encouraging, and that's a blessing all day. I'm sure that can humble anybody. Mm-hmm. I know for me, and I appreciate the early release that you gave me, and I've been bumping it, and I can't. To me, what makes a great project, and I'm just gonna be honest, is when I can't pick my favorite song when it's one day is this because I love AI Anomaly. Yeah. And then the next day I Reconcile because I love him. And then Bumps. And then Selah. And then even some of the young up and coming artists out there, you know, that the mixture that you had on the album. So with me, I can't pick my favorite song. So that's a great project. But I would ask, what's your favorite song?
It's the same thing. It changes. I know earlier on, What's the Move? I was listening to that. Once that was done, I was listening to it over and over before it released. Foolish is that's one of the first, actually one of the first tracks that was done. So I've been listening to Foolish. I've been listening to Autopilot for a very long time. Those are the first two tracks that were fully completed. Ops with Reconcile, like you're saying. When I did that, I love Drill. So that's something I was listening to for a long time. Like right now, it's probably Uncommon Few, because I love Cyphers as well. But there's you know, in my humble opinion, so much quality on there that it switches up. And then, you know, sometimes it's even like the tracks that are that weren't singles and they're more album, you know, material that you just sit down and listen to and be amazed by the performances, you know what I mean, that people had. So yeah, it jumps around for me too, man.
Yes, sir. Now I got Foolish in my back of my head. I almost broke out, started singing the hook. Yes, sir. So what's your creative process for a project like this, this big?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for one, I take my time. It took me 2 years to do this, right? And for myself, I start with production first. I think as a, you know, having my background as a producer, I make sure that I get the production and the sound that I wanted to go first. Because originally this, I had other tracks that were supposed to be on the album. And then eventually I kind of like shifted the sound of the album. So I switched the sound of the album itself completely. So I just really wanted to, with this album, make sure that the sound was more, I want to say like early 2000s, 90s hip hop. Like there's some sounds in there. It's not, you know, it's not an exact copy, but there's some sounds in there. So, it starts with production. Once I have production down, for me, for a project, I go into track listing right away. I want to know how the album is going to flow before I even get a lot of artists on there. So before I even had, you know, songs done, I might have had like two songs done in the beginning. I already know how I want the album to flow. And then from that point, you start with like direction and reaching out to artists. And then from that point on, you just keep going, you know, the mixing process, obviously. The one thing I did learning this is I'm not going to be announcing projects no more until the mixing is done. So, because that can be a process where it's like, you know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. You got to meet deadlines, and then you can't, you know, you might have some ideas that you want to do, but you can't do them because you've already, you know, put yourself on this out on the ledge. You know what I mean? So,
yes, sir. That's interesting. You say switching sound and like going back to the early 2000s. And I think that when I do listen to the project, right, Sazira 2, that I could see the flow and the sound, even though it was generated toward the early 2000s, it also, to me, bridges a gap between the youth, middle age maybe, and maybe the seniors, right? Because it's like a groove to it. And so that was interesting that you brought that up, switching the sound. Like that, was that your intentions maybe?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So one of the things that I think happens in CHH, right, is we forget once people hit like 30 plus, they kind of like get pushed out the way. Like you have to listen to what is the current sound. And there's less and less for you to listen to if you're from that like golden age of hip hop and you like that sound, right? So what I wanted to do, kind of like unannounced, was create this album where it's more focused to the 30, you know, plus, then also, you know, incorporate those younger sounds where I can, so that I don't lose the young listeners, right? So originally this album was more like that second half where it's more soulful, more slow, but I was like, ain't no way that people are gonna listen to 15 plus tracks of just slow music. Most people can't do that, so I had to sprinkle in more upbeat stuff, and I was like, okay, so, you know, there we get the Avenue, there we get the Count It Up. So I wanted to make sure that I still had those upbeat songs, because originally there wasn't many. It was just, you know, there was energy there, but it's not your typical stuff that people are gonna do the CHH turn up type stuff, you know what I mean? So that was the motive behind it. Definitely wanted to have the soulful aspect and that be like the focus. But then also I had to make some music that the younger side, you know, younger kids would listen to as well. Yeah,
that's what's up, because a lot of people, and I'm gonna go ahead and drop my age, I'm 51 years old. Okay. So yeah, so but I keep young people around me and our platform, and then my twins, they 13. So anytime I could put on an album and there's no skips for them, as well as for me, as well as for, and my wife doesn't even listen to rap music, but we just riding and grooving. I think that's an A plus all the way.
Amen. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So no one missed on this album as well. Did you ever had to ask an artist to redo their verses because it wasn't good enough?
Yeah. That's something that comes expected. There's it doesn't always happen. I think that, man, I've been really fortunate to where many times I'll reach out to an artist, they'll send me their verse, and I'm like, yo, it's dope. You don't need to do anything else. Other times it might be like there was somebody who they weren't feeling well, right? Literally, they weren't feeling well. So they didn't send the best performance. So I was like, yo, just, they said they're going to take their time, get, you know, take a couple days to rest up. And then they redid it. And I just said, yo, just make sure that you up the energy. That's it. And I think you got it. They did it. And then it became like one of my favorite verses on like that song. So, yeah, so there's definitely that, you know, I've also had a situation where I reached out to an artist and for What's the Move. And basically, I really liked their verse, but the vibe and the, I guess you could say, the tone like that they were setting, it didn't fit where I was trying to go. So I tried to get them to re-record the tone and all that. And you think of like a the Whisper song from the Ying Yang Twins. Like the same thing happened with there, where they had the song, they recorded. David Banner comes in and says, "Why don't you whisper it?" And then it becomes iconic because of that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the same type of thing. I tried to, you know, get them to, you know, kind of change the delivery, I guess you could say. And they, you know, they weren't able to do that, which is fine. You know what I mean? I don't want people to be uncomfortable, you know, with their performance. So I ended up having to move on. But it's something that does happen, and it's, you know, it's happened in the past. Even before this project, I had a song that I literally worked with an artist for maybe like 4 months on a verse, just to try to get it right. And I think we got it there. You know what I mean? So it just depends on the artist, if they're willing. Some people aren't willing to do retakes. You know what I mean? Some people are like, this is what you're getting. So, you know, you kind of like take all of that into consideration and from there. But I've been blessed where, for the most part, man, most of what I receive, I like one takes, and I'm good to go with it. You know what I mean?
Man, that's what's up, man. I love seeing some of the younger artists in our space as well on the project. Mm-hmm. What is your three bottom lines of what you look for in any artist that you endorse?
Ooh, okay. So you said endorse. See, that changes it, right?
Yes, sir.
So yeah, I want skill, right? Skill is important. Even with people who I follow online, I'm following you because there's a skill and there's a believability that I have in you, right? That I'm like, okay, I think I could work with this person in the future. And I really curate even my social media platform. I don't want to see a whole lot of stuff mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't want to pay attention to. I just want to pay attention to, you know, CHH. So my socials is probably like 95% CHH, just so that I can see as much talent as possible. Skill is definitely up there. Character is important as well. And not so much from the standpoint of what other people say about you, but from what I get from you, because, you know, things can get misconstrued, and, you know, there are popularity issues that we have in CHH where I've seen people get canceled for stuff that they, you know, they didn't, that wasn't intended to be, offensive, I should say. But it was taken that way. And then the whole community, people who have no idea what's going on, and I'm privy because I'm on the inside, and they just hop on whoever is most popular. You know what I mean? So character is important to me too, but, I don't want to make, have any idea of your character before I get to know you. Mm-hmm. So I normally will rock with you, and you have a fresh slate until I start to see character flaws. What's the third thing? So skill, character, and really fit. Because mm-hmm. I start with the production first, I want to make sure you're the right fit for a song, right? So I don't reach out to you just because I like you, right? I would love to have Lecrae on a song, but if he's not the right fit, I'm not trying to put him on a track, you know what I mean? Just to say, oh, I got Lecrae, you know what I mean? So, fit, skill level, and character, probably the three things, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. I think that's what I'm starting to do, is manage my timelines better, mm-hmm. and the people that I feel like, you know, you have to do a little research on protecting your platform and what you stand for as well. And so a lot of times I just peep the timelines, and I'm about like you. I'm sometimes things can get taken out of context, maybe. And so even if I see something, you know, that I'd be like, I just keep watching, because it's just certain things that I think character is very important. And of course, fit what you said, because when you're doing a project like this and you're putting your name on it, right? You know, as a, I think it represents us more than just as quality. It represents us of who we are as well.
100%.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. After taking 2 years, which you mentioned earlier, to complete a project of this magnitude, how do you wait patiently to release it?
Listen, I mean, you know, if you are waiting for 2 years, that patience is already built in there. You know, and also you have to make room for the marketing, you know, standpoint in the scheme. So, you know, during that time, I'm working on the marketing, and even this, the release of this album has been just, it's been different from my first, because of my first, I felt like I was a little bit more like organized, and everything was right on time and flowed the way I want it. But this one, you know, just having life, you know what I mean? Life came in and work was rough the last 3 weeks. So I didn't, you know, get to do the things I wanted to do. But, you know, you just keep pushing. It for me, at least, it's not, I'm anxious. I was anxious to get it out, but I knew that I picked the day that I picked for a reason. Even releasing this weekend, I wanted to make sure that I released, because we get an extra day. So that should be extra listeners on Monday. You know what I mean? People sitting down and either playing at a barbecue or whatever it may be. So that was strategic. So I just try to trust the plan that I set forth. And time will tell, you know, whether it was the right plan or not. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what I think, that one of my problems is I'm a sly way a little bit perfectionist. So it'd be some things I'm working on in the background that we're working on with our platform that I just keep pushing it back. And now I'm at the point to where, like, I don't want to put out nothing that's garbage, but I'm tired of shelving it as well. So that's why I kind of asked that question, to have patience and the anxiety and the, well, do you have a little perfectionist in you?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I released the album, you know, and I think it's for listeners, right? It's from a standpoint of like mixing is there. For me, myself, there's still stuff that I wanted to do, you know what I mean? That I didn't get to do, or even from the from a standpoint of the recording, like how people recorded their vocals. You know, I just ran out of time because I had already announced the album. I kind of had to go with what I had. But yeah, there were some things that kind of, like, you know, unforeseen issues, where there was like noise on vocals and stuff like that. And then it's on the engineer to try to fix that. So definitely perfectionist. I have that issue as well. But I try not to let it like paralyze me, because then you'll just keep working and keep working, and you'll find little issues that your normal everyday listener is not going to hear. You know, maybe an engineer or an artist will hear that has the ear for it, but everyday listeners, they don't know. So is it really that important? You know what I mean? Give quality, but you don't have to kill yourself over it, you know?
Yes, sir. I look at this project as straight servanthood as well. It's selfless, because you paid every artist, had to manage everything, started rollouts, and the project wasn't even done. You also outsourced different parts of the album, and that came out of your own pocket. Explain how it feels to finally have Sazura 2 finally out.
It's so on a creative end, my mind has already moved on to what's next, right? From a creative standpoint. But I also have to, you know, slow myself down and live in the moment. You know what I mean? Because I will go ahead and move on, because for me, it's been 2 years. You know what I mean? For everybody else, they're just getting the taste now. But for me, it's been 2 years. So I even started like questioning the album. Like, is it as good as I thought it was? Like, you know what I mean? And now that it's actually out, and having the feedback from people, it's encouraging, because, you know, yeah, after 2 years, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you just hear so much of it that it, mm-hmm. I think it can start to play, you know, games on you and mess with your head. But yeah, it feels good for it to be out. Like I said, it's encouraging that it's charting. I think that there's still work to be done on the marketing end. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'll be working on for, like, you know, this rest of the year, probably, just trying to market it and correctly and see how I can get it out there. I would like to do some visuals for it, some music videos. It's not a guarantee, but yeah, those are things I would like to do. But overall, man, it's very encouraging. I'm very encouraged. We'll see where it lands and where I go from here. You know what I mean? If there's going to be another one or like a part three, mm-hmm. We'll see, man.
Yes, sir. Working with Aaron Cole, which you already mentioned, who's over there with Toby Mac over at Goatee Records.
Yep.
What was that like?
Yeah, that was a new experience. So I hadn't worked with any like labels before. So I will say that Aaron is a really dope guy. And it was really cool that once he heard about the heart behind the album, he was down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he was cool. Worked super fast. Got me his verse the same day. You know what I mean? So, you know, the interaction with him was dope. Then, you know, working with a label, you just, because this is my first time, right? There are things that you don't necessarily anticipate, mm-hmm. because you don't have the same type of conversations with like an indie artist. So it wasn't a bad interaction at all with the label. I actually think it was positive, but it's just different because it's a complete enterprise, like in body, right, of mm-hmm. people who are outside of this project. So they have, you know, their own like motives and things that they have to do. So yeah, it's just different. I do prefer indie, working with indies, because that's even like a part of the mission anyway, right? Is to expose the indies. Like Aaron Cole's not getting no exposure for me, so. But it was a great experience. Really glad that it came together the way it did. Would love to, you know, continue to work with Aaron in the future, and, you know, Goatee Records as well. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Was there a difference in working with Goatee label, right, and to working with like Bizzle with God Over Money or any other Christian label? Because you had Selah mm-hmm. on there, you had AI Anomaly, you had Bumps on there, you had Jared Sanders. Is it a difference?
So the big difference, I would say, is the label setup, where I could be wrong, but this is what I believe with like a Bizzle, he allows the artists a lot of freedom, right? They operate almost independently in a sense. Right. Where they probably don't have to check in for like features and stuff like that. I'm sure they could probably do their own features. It's different in that sense, because you go, you know, when you're dealing with like an Aaron Cole, I'm guessing, this is my guess, he can't just do a feature just because he wants to. I think it does have to get approved. So that's the big thing, is the machine is a big different, and it's a lot larger. So I would guess it's probably the same way like working with a Reach artist, that you have to deal with that machine, and, you know, and they have to go through their protocol and make sure everything is set on their end, you know what I mean, and that they're protected on their end. So yeah, that's probably the biggest things. But, you know, yeah, I would love to work with Bizzle at some point. I got most of GOM on the album.
That's right.
And I wasn't even shooting for that. That's just kind of like how it happened. I was like, yeah, I got to stop reaching out to people on GOM because I got too many on here. It's going to be a GOM album. So, it's just different, just in I think probably the size of the machine behind the artist, basically.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot to mention Dayton mm-hmm. on there as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, DJ Lost and Found. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing DJ Lost and Found testimony.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with DJ Lost and Found. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved DJ Lost and Found to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah, so for me, man, I've been in church my whole life. You know, I grew up in church and family, you know, family running churches and stuff like that. So I've been in church my whole life, but I didn't accept Christ until I was like 12. And basically, I can remember just being in service. I don't remember exactly what the pastor was preaching on, but I do remember he made a call like for salvation, and he started talking about hell toward the end of the service, like the benediction type thing. And, yeah, something in my heart was like, yo, you do not want to go there. You do not want to go there. And I finally started paying attention. So basically I believe that I accepted Christ that day. I do believe that I was saved. I do believe that I started like experiencing this like, I don't know how to put it other than this favor. Like stuff just started falling into my lap that I wasn't even looking for. And it was just continuous, and I'm like, what is going on here? You know what I mean? So I'm like, what, a sixth grader at that time? You know, I can remember going back and just having like trying to have conversations with the Lord, and it feels like, right now I'm older, and you know, like skepticism comes in later about your experiences and stuff like that. But it feels like the Lord would be answering me, man. Like I'd ask a question, and then like something would happen where it would seem like it's an answer. So you know, that was early on, but at that same time, I wasn't being discipled. I wasn't reading my Bible. I backslid. You know what I mean? I can even remember like one time inviting my friend to go to church with me, and he was like, "Nah, I'm not going to church," and went off on me, and that scared me from sharing. You know what I mean? Because of what he said. So that I stopped sharing about church for a long time until I was a lot older, until about college age, something like that. Yeah, but I was living a double life. I was listening to Jay-Z. I was looking at porn and, you know, all that type of stuff. And, you know, just living a double life that you say you got saved, but then you're still dibbling and dabbling and everything else. Your life don't look no different. You know, you go to church every Sunday, but as soon as you get out, you're playing Hot 97, which I don't think is necessarily wrong. But when you really just soaking that stuff in and like agreeing with it and to the, when you, because you enjoy it. It's a problem. So basically, to fast forward, I just had this time where I went to college. I was wilding out in college with the women, the drugs. I was a frat boy. So I was bugging out. And then toward the end of college, I'll add this. I don't think I shared in another anywhere else. But toward the end of college, I had a best friend in college who he started feeling a tug at his heart. And he started being like, yo, I know your background, right? We've talked about it. I know you're from church as well. We kind of had the same type of story where he went crazy, you know, after high school and was wilding out. He was like, let's start reading scripture. So we would start reading scripture. And, you know, it was at that time, it was more of the I'm reading to say that I read type of thing. But I think it was just these little steps that God was having me take to bring me back eventually. Right. So after college, he really took me through some tough financial times. You know, this is 2009, so I couldn't find a job for 6 months. I worked at McDonald's during high school for 4 years, went to the same McDonald's, went back to my old manager. They wouldn't hire me. I was like, yo, I can't even get a job at McDonald's, bro. Like, what's going on here? I used to work here. I used to run this place. So, so the Lord just took me through like a really tough time. The only money that I was making at the time was from babysitting. Like, I'm not a babysitter, you know, I'm not that type, but I made $60 a week to babysit, and that was the only money I had, you know, clothes falling apart. I'm addicted to smoking Black and Milds. I couldn't go to sleep because of the stress without smoking 2 Black and Milds at least every night. It was a really stressful time. It was really, really tough time. But through all of that, I think that God started to open my eyes to the reality of how far back I had fallen. So I started getting, you know, I got introduced to Bizzle. I got introduced to Lecrae at that time. And all these things, like little things that were kind of like these little seeds planted to bring me back. And eventually I got to this point where I was like, yo, I need to come back to God, but I don't know how. You know what I mean? I'm starting to go to church again, you know what I mean, after college. And but I still don't know how to come back to you. So so basically what I do, the only thing that I could muster up was praying to God that, can you send me a wife that'll help me come back to you? And I met the woman who would become my wife like 2 months later on Christian Mingle. From there, she invited me to a kind of like a revival type of weekend type thing at the church she was going to. And from there, my life drastically changed, man. Like, where I rededicated my life to Christ. I was traveling from, I was still living in New Jersey. So Central New Jersey, the church was in the Bronx. So I was whenever I go there, 2 hours each way to go to church on Sundays, and then small group during the week, you know what I mean? 2 hours after work and stuff like that. So it was a drastic change. I wanted to be in the presence of God. I wanted to read my scripture. I wanted to share again. And when people had an interest in the Lord, I started getting excited. You know what I mean? And it was exciting. Amen. That people would come to me and be asking questions about God, and I'm reading my Bible and I could share. And I had that fervor, that, you know, that zeal, that people say. So, like I said, been in church my whole life, but, you know, went through the whole, I guess, like prodigal son type of thing. And now that I'm back and I'm focused on serving the body, and focused on serving my family first and foremost. I got a wife and 2 kids. The Lord took me through a transition, right? And there was a point in time when I was ashamed of my testimony, because it was like, yo, you ain't get shot, you did some drugs, but you're not like on coke or something like that, you know what I mean? And always had friends who were and stuff like that, but at this point I know that my testimony is for me. And the Lord did the work in my life, so it's no longer about what I had to go through. Hopefully it's just a blessing to others out there, somebody out there, you know?
Yes, sir. That's what's up, man. And that, I know that's going to help a lot of people. And I know it'll help also my 13-year-olds that's going to school now that have professed their faith already. Amen. But some of the things that you shared, I see them going through, especially with this gender identity stuff going on and what they're teaching in school. And sometimes my daughter tells me, you know, sometimes she just scared to share, you know, the gospel and stuff like that because of what her peers may think of her. So yeah, I know that's going to bless some people, and I appreciate you sharing that. I always give the opportunity to talk to that one out there that's feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Wow. So if you're on the edge of accepting Christ, I think that what you're probably experiencing, that I would guess, is a prickling at your heart, is like a tug at your heart, where you know that you should be going in this direction instead of the direction that your life is currently going. You should turn to Christ. You should, you know, be living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. I would say listen to that tug at your heart. You know what I mean? That is what we call the Holy Spirit. And he tugs at you. He is gentle and patient, but he's going to continue to tug at you until you come back. Because even during this time, man, I just shared about, there were people who God would just plant in my life who I would run away from because I was like, I know, like, basically, you know, I know that that's God. You know what I mean? So, like, coworkers who are Christians and talking about, they'll be like, yo, I can see God on your life. And I'm like, that's not what I want to hear right now. Like, you know what I mean? And I'll run from them, like, literally, because I just didn't want to surrender. I think that was the big thing. So I think if you're feeling that tug, go ahead and surrender. You know, because I believe that if the Lord is doing that, you're going to get to a place where you do anyway, because it's his doing, because it's not ours. Like, the strength and the surrender that we get, it comes from God anyway. So, yeah, I truly believe that this, you know, if he's calling you, he's going to see it through. So, just continue, but listen to that prick and that pull.
Amen. And you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, DJ Lost and Found. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland. And you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC. And you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man. Changing the culture for God. Let's go.
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out Avenue featuring Dayton and Shywan from DJ Lost and Found's Say Zero 2 album, and then dive back into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad and DJ Lost and Found, only on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Holla. Holla. Holla.
Little savage dude with an attitude, I was rather proof. I was known to run amok, starting trouble up. It was green lighting anyone that wasn't one of us. I kept a mag on the black cat filled up, throwing up my set, screaming black, black killer. My neighbor screaming, there goes that crack dealer, when she saw me on the corner trying to stack that thriller. They told me crime pays, and I fell for the eyes. I was hellbound, having one hell of a time. The devil had me, but I couldn't tell I was blind, until God removed the scales and they fell from my eyes. Life and death was before me and I had to choose. I chose life, then the Father sent me back to do work. Now I'm fishing and they calling me a radical, cause I be on the avenue, passing out a track or two.
Whoa, quick to listen, ay, slow to speak, I'm on the road, now I'm fishing, ay, it's somebody on the floor, let me get them, ay, it's somebody on the floor, let me get them. Whoa, quick to listen, ay, slow to speak, I'm on the road, now I'm fishing, ay, it's somebody on the floor, let me get them, ay, it's somebody on the floor, flow, flow, flow.
Tag along, what's the matter wrong, this ain't Babylon, prayers up, blessings going down like an avalanche. Verily, I need security to be imperative. Ministry is fighting enemies and building charity. I was
was praying for the people in the devastation. That hated stick, I'm going left, I had a hesitation. I remember as a kid playing Sega Genesis, and now I'm getting older praying for a revelation. Can't you tell, baby, I'm not anybody. I'm a standing soldier, gotta help out many, many bodies. I was called and I was chosen, he be me and I was open. Now he picking someone else, it look like any, many, money. Oh, whoa, hey, look up, he gave me the hook up. Oh, pick up, hands like a stick up. Oh, look up, worship with the book up. We roaming the Romans and ain't nothing real up. Whoa, quick to listen, ay, slow to speak, I'm on the road. Now I'm fishing, ay, it's somebody on the floor. Let me get them, ay, it's somebody on the floor. Let me get them. Whoa, quick to listen, ay, slow to speak, I'm on the road. Now I'm fishing, ay, it's somebody on the floor. Let me get them, ay, it's somebody on the floor. Flow, flow, flow.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with DJ Lost and Found. Let's talk hip hop and your transition to Christian hip hop, plus the importance of good business in our space. I've heard you speak on being professional in our space and how we need to do business better. Mm-hmm. One thing I love about you is how you communicated back to me and how you sent your submissions in. You had the write-ups for each song, the cover art, and all the links, not just DJ Lost and Found, Find Me. You also sent it in weeks in advance from the release date and not at the last minute. That helps me as a content creator of the website, YouTube, Instagram, and etc. get your work out faster and to the best of my ability as well. Why do you think it's a need for professionalism in our space? And how can artists benefit from it?
Yeah, so I think what professionalism does is it takes everybody into consideration. That's the reason why I do all of that is I'm trying to consider you more important than myself. And you know, getting write-ups, getting music out to DJs, that's important to me because I've been on the other side. You know, I mean, I've been in media. I've been, you know, in a place where you're doing an interview and then, you know, maybe like somebody, you know, and it's a mistake, but like they show up late, right? And they blame it on you. But, you know, when you go back and look, nah, they just messed up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've been in a place where, you know, you're getting submissions, but you don't even know who the artist is. You like the song. You don't even know who it is because they didn't put their name. They didn't put the name of the features. You don't mm-hmm. know who's the producer. So a lot of this stuff, man, honestly, for me, I've just been learning it along the way. Mm-hmm. And I've been pulling, you know, what I've learned and incorporated into what I do. So, you know, even like something called like Blue Sheets, where that is mm-hmm. basically all the information about the song on one sheet of paper. You know what I mean? And I keep that. It has the lyrics on it. It has all the information that you would need, the UPC code, you know, for mm-hmm. purchasing. The ISRC code it has all the stuff that we don't talk about, mm-hmm. but that are important, like that metadata type stuff. It has all of that, and that's, you know, these are things that I kind of learned just being in radio. You know what I mean? I saw mm-hmm. other artists send it in, and people from like RMG send in blue mm-hmm. sheets, and I was like, okay, that's what y'all do. So when mm-hmm. I started doing my music, then I incorporated that. You know what I mean? So for me, yeah, it's not this is nothing that like I came up with. Thank God I have people who are like in radio. Shout out to like Big Red. He's been someone who is not only an influencer for me, but also like a big brother, and he coaches me, man. He'll give me little nuggets and be like, yo, you should do this, you should do this. This will really benefit you know, radio DJs. And I start to incorporate that stuff, you know, into my rollouts and so like I said, it's all about taking the other person on the other side of the screen, right, and trying to make sure that they're you know, first and foremost, like they're mm-hmm. paramount, and that I'm taking them into complete consideration rather than throw a you know, my content at you and then expect you to post it the next day. Like it's not realistic, and it's also not loving. So yeah, this mm-hmm. whole process is all about trying to be loving, trying to like I said, be considerate, you know, I'm just glad that it's being received, and And hopefully, you know, we'll have more of it. You know, I mean, in a space where, you know, it's not just a one word email or an empty email with an attachment. You know what I mean? And I understand not everybody comes from like I come from business in my work world. So, you know, it's kind of ingrained in me. And I know that it's not like a motive thing to be like disrespectful or anything like that. But I think when you go that extra mile, it just shows people that I'm considering you and I value your time. And I also want you to have a clear understanding of the message that I'm trying to send you. So,
yes, sir. And that's what's up, because the way, and I heard you say metadata, and me with being behind the scenes on the website, I've learned about search engine optimization, right? From my partner out there, Picasso Ramirez, that's over there with 520 Collective. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Picasso up that way, that New Jersey, New York area. Yes, sir. So he helps me behind the scene on our website. And when you send them one word, one sentence of tell me about the song, oh, it's a Christian song and it's hype. You know, and I understand everybody doesn't have the business aspect of that, right. But with the search engine optimization, the more you detail this song, and then with our platform that, not picking on anybody, but with our platform, we love to put your social media links out there too. So when the web pick it up or different followers of ours, they can really skip us and go find out more about you or whatever, if they like what they heard or what they seen. And I know a lot of platforms don't do that, but that's part of me saying this isn't about me. This is me trying to make a bridge for the culture, right? And trying to get God's word out there. And then I also think that it helps the artists for when they do get the bigger platforms, right? You know, like the Rapzillas, the Holy Cultures, the, you know, different in front of different spaces like that. It helps you handle business, it's business. But then we also handle it as Christ followers too. So, you know, I think that's very important.
Right. Yeah, that's huge for me is doing good business. And being, you know, I think it's easy to not see doing business with your brothers and sisters as something that is godly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think that you, by doing good business, it's worship. You know what I mean, you know, it's not, you know, because I think most of the time we think of worship as just the expression of singing in church or whatever. That's an expression of worship, but worship is how you live your life. You know what I mean? That's so right. What I'm trying to do is live my life, is, you know, in a way that glorifies God, and that includes the business. You know what I mean? That includes, like you said earlier, the artists getting their royalties. You know what I mean? That includes me not holding that back. And, you know, and if there was an issue that, you know, somebody had, then let's talk about it, because it ain't intentional. But giving partial ownership of the song, you know what I mean? That was an intentional way for me to just try to be like, yo, I see who you are. I'm appreciative of your involvement in the project. And I want to, on the business end, in a tangible sense, like share the wealth. You know what I mean? Like when we get checks in, you're going, like, that money going straight to the artist. You know what I mean? It's not even Amen. Stopping with me. So I don't even see it. But that's the way it should be, man. Cause I don't want ever want anybody to come back and have an issue with the business that we've done. You know what I mean? If we don't get nothing right, the business should be right. And in my interaction, hopefully is the same, where we have a good interaction. Cause I, like I said, I think it's pleasing to God. I think it brings glory to his name just the same way as making a song that says Jesus 15 times. You know what I mean? Amen. It brings just as much glory just doing good business.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to piggyback that just a little bit before we move on. But when we have like our board meetings or officer meetings in church, and it's time to discuss the business of the church, and my pastor used to always ask me to lead off in prayer first. And I would always add, can we handle business like Christ followers? Mm-hmm. It's business. We know the amens and the hallelujahs won't pay the light bill, the gas bill, you know, and everything like that. So we do have to conduct business in the church to pay the bills or different ministries or things like that. But can we, when we get to talking about these numbers, right? Mm-hmm. This money, this stuff like that, that's a whole nother subject. Yeah. But let's do it as Christ followers.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you kind of answered this next question, but so I was going to ask, was there handshakes on a project this big or conventional contracts, or how did you handle the contracts?
Yeah, I did split sheets. So, I think the first album where I messed up and, you know, it hasn't come back to bite me, but it was a lot of handshakes, and I did a mm-hmm. lot through like the DMs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And everybody was agreeable. But when it comes to actually having, like, let's say IG broke down for some reason, all that mm-hmm. info is gone now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or is buried under the other conversation that we're having. So mm-hmm. what I wanted to do is send out, split sheets, basically. Mm-hmm. So you have like an official paperwork, you know, showing mm-hmm. what your splits are, what your royalties are. You know, dates and official like signatures and all that stuff. So yeah, that's what I do now. I don't necessarily do contracts. That could be in the future, but right now it's just split sheets. Because as long as we agree and we're both, you know, names are signed on the dotted line, then I think that could, you know, basically, you know, quench any issues down the line. Because we both signed upon it and agreed. But everything was split sheets this time, and with 50 artists, man, like it's just a lot. It's a lot of work, mm-hmm. lot of reaching out, a lot of, you know, and it's also not very important to everybody. I just try to do my part. So as long as I send it out, that's my part. If you don't sign, ain't nothing I can do about that. I can't force
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah, that's not my business. But there is record that you were reached out to, that type of thing. So, so everything is split sheets. I don't really do contracts, but it's all laid out there as far as how much you own, all like the artist name and official names and all of that stuff is on there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. I also see you're an independent AR.
Yeah. Yeah.
What goes into just being an AR?
Yeah. So, independent being it, most of the time, A&Rs are at a label. You think of like Reach mm-hmm. Records. You know, they got Ace over there. He's their mm-hmm. A&R. He's really helping the artists to craft their albums and helping them to develop, right? Mm-hmm. And then like the playlist, I'm sure like he's like head of that completely, where he's leading that up. So in the same vein, but in a much smaller sense, I do the same thing independently. Like there's mm-hmm. artists who reach out to me, and this is what artists do even with other artists. They reach out, and just had somebody yesterday reached out and said, yo, how do you think this mix is? Where that's, you know, just giving my thoughts and ideas. But then, you know, also I'm on SubmitHub.com. So on SubmitHub, basically artists can submit their music to me for an opportunity to be playlisted. But I'll also, and I do charge because it is my time.
Yes,
I do charge. You can submit for free, but you ain't going to get no critique. I do charge for a critique. Like, it's like a dollar for a critique. I'll critique your song. Yeah, I'll critique your song. And, you know, if I like it, I'll add it to the playlist. If I don't, then I'll tell you why I don't like it. You know, if you want a critique, because some people just don't want a critique. And I'll tell you, like, yo, yeah, you really got to work on your mixing. You got to work on your delivery, or maybe you should have had somebody else sing this hook or something like that. And I try to do it in a gentle way where, you know, because I know it's hard to share your music and get critiqued. I know, I've been there. I've had people make faces when I showed them my music, like, and it hurts, right? So, you know, be sensitive. A lot of us artists are sensitive about that. So mm-hmm. I try to be loving and gentle on critiquing, but I also want you to have the truth. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing worse than, and I think it does happen a lot in our space where people just kind of lie and be like, yo, oh, that's hot. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's dope. That's the big thing. It's dope. What does that mean? Everything can't be dope. Like, if you, like, here's, listen, artists, if you got people in your circle who every single time that they talk about music is dope, mm-hmm. then they probably the wrong people to ask about, because there has to be something wrong with music, or maybe they're not able to explain why something is not good. right? So that's what I try to do, is explain why something's not good with that. But even on another level of A&Ring is, you know, working with artists to kind of like create projects. So I work with Bumps, Inf, and Promise right now on a project that they're creating, and my role is to get, basically lend my ear, let them know, hey, if it's like, if the song is not done, you know, I think that you guys could have added this to the chorus. Like, it'd be a dope idea to have kids in the background doing the chorus. Like, you know what I mean, that would add some dynamic to the song. And, you know, working with those guys, they're like professionals, so they ain't, it's not much in that area that I have to do with like correction or anything like that. But yeah, just working with them to put together this project should be coming out next year, hopefully, which is, it's really dope project. And I think these guys are on that same level of like a Magic and Bird, you know what I mean? Where, as far as chemistry goes, they play off each other so well. And then the songs are just, they're butter, you know what I mean? These they're great. So, yeah, so that's the A&Ring tip, is just really just about artist development. And I just do it in an independent way, because even now, the more and more like followers, and the more your brand grows, the more people are reaching out. And, you know, some people, you know, expecting you to work with them just because they reached out. And then others where it's just they, you know, I just don't have the capacity to work with you because I got so many other things going, especially with the album. You know what I mean? I pushed everything to the side with the album. So yeah, it's challenging, but at the same time, I love it because I'm, you know, I don't have to answer to anybody as far as like being independent, an independent A&R. I work with who I can, you know, and I'm just trying to benefit the artist. Yeah,
that's what's up. Yeah, you mentioned Bumps Inf. I was gonna ask that too. What was it like working with him after? Yeah. You know, I think he just got a new project out. Who is Mark James too?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That just dropped not too long ago. I'm gonna shout Bumps Inf out because I love that album. He's one of my favorite artists. But like working with him, he don't be spitting metaphors at you, dude. When he on the phone with you,
Bumps is he's a very energetic dude. So I'm like the complete opposite, where I'm like even kill all the time. And he's very energetic, you know, very mile a minute, but a good dude. Like, I'm glad that we got a chance to actually have a conversation, like a real conversation and talk. But yeah, he's a good dude, and even Promise as well. You know, he's a good dude as well. And, you know, I'm able to work, you know, along with Prophet Link, who's on the album, who's Bumps' manager. But yeah, Bumps is cool. And shout out to Bumps for that project he just put out. I heard some of it early, you know, some of it I didn't hear until it was out. But I think honestly that from a lyrical standpoint might be the best project that was released this year. From a lyrical standpoint, it is crazy. And I meant to text him. I got to text him and let him know. That just listening to it, it's still one of my favorite projects to listen to this year. Just because it just, man, that man was spitting. That man was spitting. I mean, ain't no other way to put it.
Yes, sir.
So he needs to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So how did you get into our space of Christian hip hop?
Yeah, so I got into the space because when I was in school, basically, I found out about cross movement from going to a little festival that my school had. I was in private school, a Christian private school, and they had a festival. They had cross movement that was up there. The whole festival was whack, to be honest. The whole time it was like people are up on stage and performing, but nobody's paying attention. And then they brought cross movement on. It was like the perfect timing too. It's like golden hour where the sun is coming down and the lighting is just right. And they came out there and they killed it. And that was the first time of me actually listening to CHH and really taking it in. And I went to Jesus Book and Gift Store and I got that album, Human Emergency. Okay. I got that album as soon as it came out. So, yes, you know, and then of course I went right back to listening to Jay-Z and Nas and all that. but it was the exposure was there. You know what I mean? So that was me as a listener, because I was a listener before I did anything else. You know what I mean? And to even think right now, that's crazy that I was probably like 15 at that time. I didn't transition until I was like 30 to actually being in CHH. So I was just a fan the entire time. But I started DJing at 30. Most people don't know this. It's only been about four, maybe five years that I've been DJing. Yeah. So I started DJing, and really that was just because I wanted to serve my local church. We would bring in secular DJs who, you know, would mess the party up because they play the wrong song, and then wondering why Christians is getting off the dance floor because we can't rock with that. You know what I mean? Right. So for me, I was like, yo, all right, there's an opportunity here where we need, and even though we're in New York City, like you would think that there'd be a plethora of DJs, right? Or at least we weren't booking them. But so I started DJing basically to serve my local church body. From there, God opened up a door for me to join radio. So I started, became a part of a radio show, Rise Up Worldwide. And then I, even from there, I just kept, I kept serving. So I interned at the New H2O, that's a platform, like a sister platform to Rapzilla, ran by Justin. And I started doing like a weekly article of the top 10 indie artists of the week, like the songs at least. And so, yeah, I served in that capacity. I started to meet artists that way. People started to learn who I was by doing that. And you're getting relationships and all of that. And then, you know, eventually doing that, that those articles, that's what led to the albums. Because I fell in love with just serving the indies. Because I'm like, yo, you're getting DMs like, yo, thank you for covering. Like, I didn't think nobody even saw the song. I don't, you know, and then from even people who are not getting listed, yeah, people are like, yo, how did you even find this artist? You know what I mean? And just being able to expose people to all the talent that's out there. I got really like addicted to just that ability to share, you know what I mean? And hopefully affect people's lives, right? So yeah, it all started from DJing, moved on from DJing, and even at this point, even being DJ Lost and Found, I do less DJing now and more of the executive producing and A&R work. But you know, DJing really opened the door and the opportunity for me. Yeah, that's how I moved into the space from being just a fan, to actually doing service. And I think there's a lot of people, man, out there who are fans, or maybe who are even in CHH and, probably just doing the wrong thing. Like you could really make some waves if you switch it up, because you might be an artist, but maybe that's not your gift. You know what I mean? And I don't encourage anybody to ever stop, because I learned from somebody that even if somebody is terrible at what they do, but if they can affect someone's heart, then praise God. You know what I mean? So I'll never tell anybody to stop, you know, ever again, or even think that people should. But I will say that there's possibly, because we have so many holes in that we need to fill as far as making this a complete industry. There's possibly a place where you can. You know, serve what's really your gifting. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be out here trying to be an artist. That's not my gifting. I don't even like talking in front of people, so that ain't my gifting. But the behind the scenes stuff, that's where I excel. So that's where, you know, I try to serve.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what, before we move into this last segue, that's the thing that I've always tried to do, because that may not be your gifting, right? But when you submit to us, now I'm not gonna say you're gonna make top paid, but we're gonna put your music up there, because I've always learned maybe that person's mother needs to hear him or her rapping about Christ. That person's cousin or dad or the alcoholic stepbrother they have or sister, right? We can never diminish the ministry, and we can never put God in a box as well. You know, they may not be top tier artists as far as the Lecraes, the Reconcile, the, you know, I can go on and on and on. You know, they might not be top tier artists, but their ministry God can still use them, is what I'm saying. So what our ministry, I'm not good at critiquing, because some artists can't take critiques, right? So that's a gift too, right? But I am good at telling the truth and maybe letting you down a little bit if you really ask my honest opinion. And it's a couple of guys that we share a little small group texts and stuff like that. They'll shoot me their music and they value my opinion. But I think that's awesome that you said that. And the last thing I want to ask you before we move into the last part is, how was Christian hip hop different from when you first entered into the space?
So I'm only making a generalization or a guess here because I was a fan on the outside. And then once you get to where I am now, where I'm more in it, you know, I'm in it, I'm seeing behind the scenes stuff. And there's still plenty that I don't know, right, and don't see. I'm not privy to being in like the group text that most artists are in and stuff like that. I'm more around like media people. I mean, that's really my group of people that I stay with. So the way I think that the way it changed is I don't think that the mission has necessarily changed. I think how people go about it is changed. And the acceptance of just good art, right? And I think that that a lot of people are comfortable with just creating good art that I think brings glory to God, you know, just Amen. Just being a painter, you know what I mean? I think you can bring glory to God by painting a bee and it being beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's God's creation. That's a reflection of the work he did. So I think that's the difference now is that it's not necessarily as explicit, right? But at the same time, the beautiful thing is as large as CHH is, yo, you can literally find, if you want people who only speak about Christ, who you only speak about scripture, you can find it. It's just a matter of digging to go. And, you know, I'm like, I get a little frustrated, I'll say, when I see people who say like, you know, there's no female artists or there's no people who speak about scripture in CHH anymore. And I'll literally go there and I'll list the artists for them. And I'm like, you ain't looking because it's out here. It's out here. And I try not to be disrespectful because I that can happen. But I think it's really just the amount of people because everybody's indie. You know what I mean, there's no passageway that you have to come through in order to be here. As long as you start getting seen on like the platforms, then you know people are going to start to figure out who you are. And then now social media, you have the ability to build your own platform. You know, like Caleb Gordon built his own platform. That boy killing right now. You know, Miles Manic, another one. I remember hearing about him back in like 2018 and speaking to him back then, and to see where he is now, and it's just from the work he's put in, you know what I mean? And
that's right,
he knows how to market, you know what I mean? And he knows the to do's in order to get people to really engage with you, you know what I mean? Like being in their face, performing as often as you can, you know what I mean?
That's right.
It's got him to where he is. So yeah, the space is huge. There's plenty of artists out here. I come across new artists all the time, and it's you know, I'm following thousands of artists at this point, and there's still more out there, you know what I mean, who are active. We're not even talking about people who are just inactive. These people are active and actively putting out music. So I think, yeah, the space is different, and just from the art standpoint, the sound, of course, has changed a little bit, but I still think the heart is there. I'm sure that there's issues as far as people, you know, not actually being Christians. And, you know, it's not necessarily my place to say who's a believer or who's not. So I try to stay out of that a little bit. But you know, you do encounter people where you question, like, you a believer? Why would you do something like that? You know what I mean? So, but we're all flawed. We're all individuals that need grace and that are inherently evil. So that stuff's going to come out. I think it's the space is different just in a musical standpoint. I think it's pretty much the same. I think we still have the same issues as far as like doing good business. I think we still have the issues of, or actually a more prevalent issue now. I think some of the foundation that we had in like the 2010s, we don't have that anymore. It seems like, you know what I mean? And this is no shot, but as much as like Rapzilla is still, you know, the premier place to go to, I don't know if it still has the same amount of impact, or at least that it used to have. Like I remember just going to Rapzilla every day and just, you know, getting projects for free and stuff like that. So maybe there's been like some changes and stuff like that, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if we have that staple to go to. As much as they are, you know, and we need Rapzillas. Let me not,
absolutely.
We need them. We need the media outlets. I think as much work that Rapzilla does and behind the scenes, I think if they weren't here and they just chose to close up shop, a lot of us CHH artists would fall off the map. You know what I mean?
Oh, so absolutely agree.
Yeah. So I don't want to get misconstrued. We need them. But I don't know. I think that there's something just foundational missing. I think that we had a little bit better. Maybe dudes back then, artists back then were more professional. Maybe they were more seasoned artists. But it just seems like, you know, we don't have the same, not impact. That's the wrong word. But maybe like professionalism. And then also I'm seeing from a different light as well, because I'm no longer just a fan. Now I'm inside the industry itself. So I don't know. I said a whole bunch, but I'm not sure, man.
Yes, sir. That's awesome, man. Once again, this is the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with your host, Daryl Kemp. We are sitting down with an exclusive interview with DJ Lost and Found. Stay tuned, and we will be back after these messages to see what's next from DJ Lost and Found.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip-hop DJ / curator DJ Lost and Found. In this segue, I would like to talk about what's next for DJ Lost and Found. What vision or kind of projects does DJ Lost and Found see himself making in the foreseeable future?
I have ideas. I definitely have ideas. I don't know if there'll be a Caesar or three. I'm still kind of like just mulling that. I would like kind of like to move on to other stuff and maybe come back. Even though I do have an idea for a part three, but that's just going to sit there in the back of my mind. But man, I would love to do like an international record where, like an EP, where I have like Afrobeat and UK drill. That's a scene that I think is really dope. There are a lot of artists over there who I respect and who I listen to. And low key, I listen to more drill. At one point I was listening to more Afrobeat than CHH. Okay. So like the Limo Blazes out there, like he been killing it for the longest. And it's nice that he's finally getting his shine. But yeah, the drill, like the Canolas, the Still Shadies, like I love all of them over there in the UK, and I think they're killing it. So I would love to work with them over there. And then it also expands my reach, right? So not only do I have listeners here in the U.S., but then I'm overseas and got the listeners over there. So from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense to do. So that's one thing that I have on my mind. But then also singles, I think I'll start working on, just because I can do everything that I wanted to do. I didn't do visuals at this point yet for the album, just because it was a massive undertaking. But I would love to do some singles, really put some visuals with them, so that it can really stick with people. Because, you have to have visuals nowadays in order to really make an imprint. You got to have visuals. So for me, yeah, I would love to go to singles. And this is, all just things that I'm thinking of. It's not necessarily in motion yet. I'm actually probably going to take like a couple weeks and not be creative for a while, so I can also just focus on my family, you know what I mean? Because
yes,
2 years, they really, like my wife especially, has been patient with me. Because it takes late nights in order to do this stuff. I can't do it during the day if I'm going to be present as a father and husband. So, you know, late at night up till 2-3 in the morning, you know, trying to construct songs and arrange songs and then do the business aspect, you know, and it's still not done. Hopefully 2023 I'll be able to offer new music, but it'll probably would just be a little bit less than, like, because I dropped 18 songs this year. I think that's a good amount, even though people are already yes, asking sir. For something new. I mean, already. But yeah, we're gonna slow it down and really marinate in the music.
Yeah, that's how us fans is. We never satisfied.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So being a part of Holy Culture Radio at one time and seeing them grow and now
Sirius.
Yeah.
Is there any reunion plans?
Oh man, that's a great question. How much can I go into this? Let's just say at this point right now, there isn't, only because I'm more focused on the curating. But you know, the people over at Holy Culture, Trig especially, I'm really, really appreciative. And actually yesterday marked 3 years since I started my radio show, my mix show. So it was 3 years. That's when I debuted. And Trig is the reason why I even did that, man, because I didn't believe that I could do a mix show and be that consistent, you know, every week having a mix going out to the people. I was intimidated in doing that because I was like, this day, you know, I was just still fresh, you know, in mixing. And for Rise Up, I would do like these 12 to 15 minute mixes, but then to do like a whole hour is you know, that's like 30 songs you got to come with, and that's every week. So, there's a possibility there, and there are, I've gotten DMs, people asking me, yo, we need the radio show back. So that's a possibility. But right now, you know, the focus is on the curating. I don't want to, you know, I haven't even taken out my controller, my DJ controller, in like 2 years. So like, it's just been collecting dust because just the focus ain't there. And also just haven't felt, inspired. You know what I mean? I don't want to create from a place, because during 2020, you know what I mean? Especially when, you know, we had the whole George Floyd thing happening. It was hard to DJ. I remember one time I just broke down and I just did the whole show was worship music. So I was like, I can't mix today. It was rough from a creative standpoint to really create. And I felt like I wasn't able to give my best. It felt like, you know, I was a little sloppy, because I just wasn't in it. So rather than hurt the station or the product, I chose to stop. But like I said, good people over at Holy Culture, Trig, shout out to him. I love what they're doing. I support them fully and completely, being over at Sirius XM. I'm a listener. You know, I subscribed to Sirius so that I can listen. And you know, they have a lot of shows that are like really pushing the boundaries. And now I know that they just added Track Stars. So they got plenty over there. You know, he brought Wade O back. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
Wade O, you know what I mean?
That's huge for the space. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So just having Wade O back in the space and filling that thing that I feel like was missing when he wasn't there. It was literally missing, and nobody can do what Wade O does. So, they're in a good spot. We'll see as far as the future. If I get a prickle, you know, like an inkling that I should do it again, I'll do it. But as of right now, it would literally just be service. It wouldn't be from me wanting to do it. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I think the George Floyd incident, it shook me.
Mm-hmm.
It shook me, James. It really did, and affected all my brothers and sisters around me too.
Yeah.
You know, especially my black and brown brothers.
Yeah.
And sisters. So yeah, I understand the pause, and from a creative perspective and things like that. And before we close out, I'd like to give an artist tip on something that you just mentioned too as well. I heard DJ Jesus Beats talking about this one time. So this is an artist tip for the artists out there listening, that our platforms, they're good, right? And they're needed. But getting your music in front of these DJs, right? Because they're playing your music and other people listening. And it's just like the podcast, right? I don't get caught up in how many downloads and everything anymore, because I have people like my partner out there, Pastor Eddie Richardson. He owns a barbershop. So he plays the podcast in the barbershop. So it's no telling how many people then that came in and heard something, or heard someone, or heard me say anything that had God has lended their ear at the time to hear something to change their perspective and outlook and direction in life, right? My mother just retired as a school teacher. She plays the podcast in school. And she goes to, she retired from a private school with her church, right? So I don't get caught up in the numbers and stuff. I know people are listening, but artists, the artist tip is platforms are important, but also get in touch with some of these DJs out here that's putting your music out in front of different listeners and some of their people that listen to them.
Yep,
yes,
100%.
Sir.
Yep, yep.
Yes, sir. So as we get ready to wrap it up, DJ Lost and Found, last thing, fam, let the people know where they can follow you at and cop your music. Let everybody know where Sayzera 2 is, mm-hmm. and how they can help us change the culture by following you.
Yeah, so you can follow me on social media platforms, every, you know, social media platform at DJ Lost and Found. That's at DJ Lost, the letter N, Found. I prefer you to follow me at djlostandfound.com. My website is where I'm really trying to push people to. I think we see the writings on the wall with these social media platforms. Can get rid of you if they want to. They can, you know, they can literally off you, that we're seeing them doing to. They did it to the president, so they can do it to us. So I think it's important to own your own space. So I think a website is you know, a way to do that. So yeah, djlostandfound.com. You get all the announcements first. I put them there before I put them on socials. You also have links to my music. You have links to merch. So I have like this shirt that's coming out for the album. So Sayzera 2, okay. That is just out right now on all streaming platforms. We got merch that's coming out. I think I'm gonna announce it on Monday. So you know, that's another way that you can just really just engage in not only the platform but the brand. You know, the cover looks, I love the cover, and I think that it's really a different look, and most people probably don't even understand what it means.
That's right.
But yeah, it gives people a little bit to dig, some digging to do. I mean, so I am an artist at heart, so I like to give people some digging to do. Everything ain't gonna be on the surface, you know what I mean? So if you get the surface things, cool, but those of you who really tapped in and you get like the deeper meanings and you find that stuff, I love that as well. So DJ Lost and Found for everything.
Yes, sir. And that album, Sayzera 2, before we close out, it made me start. I had took it down off Spotify, but our album of the month or whatever week or whatever we do, and I started another playlist, and I got Sayzera 2 up there. It's been about 2, maybe 3 years since I've done this, yeah. And it's really encouraged me. We got a Christ Before Hip Hop playlist now up there on Spotify, and I'm an Apple man, so that's probably why I wasn't on Spotify that much. But album right here, man, I got to give you all the props, all the time and effort that you put into it. It's really unbelievable, and I love to see it for the culture. Like you said, it's got everything on it. You know, we talked about it in the beginning, but it's got stuff for the energetic, for the young, mm-hmm. for the drill, for the trap, R&B, which I love hearing, right? It's got that groove to it. And man, I just, I'm very encouraged when I see projects like this. And I just appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your time for doing this, man. And I thank you for coming across the podcast. We will have all his links in the show notes. Brother, I just wish that, man, not wish, but I pray that the Lord will continue to keep using you and using your skill, your business, your ministry, your heart, and all the goals that you want to succeed and achieve. I hope the Lord will be able to still continue to bless you so you can bless others, my brother. And I really do appreciate you coming across the podcast.
100%, man. Thank you again for sharing the platform. Giving me the time, man, because you could be interviewing someone else. So I'm appreciative and I'm not good with praise, so I'll be pushing that.
Yes, sir. But that's one of the reasons why you're on the show, I admit, because most of the people that we interview, the Lord has gave me a gift where I can see somebody's humble heart. And even though we're in a social media world, I already knew most of the people that I interview, and I knew that you was included, that you had a humble heart, right? And that's one of the reasons why you're up here, my brother. You know, everybody, you know where you can follow us at. Just go to your favorite web browser and put in hashtag TBK247 and we'll pop up everywhere. I guarantee you. So thank you once again, James. And family, we will see you on the next side.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give would be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again. And until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.